Oh my god!
Have a listen. Let's talk about this on the podcast, right?
I want to get because Josiah's also been playing it.
Listen to the goddamn recording. Yeah, you're gonna get Josiah on. I know.
Yeah, yeah. Because he also agrees with a lot.
Listen to the recording. Hey, welcome to episode 166 of Front Seat Gamer. I'm Nick. I'm here with Paul.
Hey.
And Blake.
Hey, Nick.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty tired.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
How about you?
You know, pretty good. But I think we're all pretty good. Blake, you pretty good?
I am pretty good.
That's a good time to be good.
Pretty good. It's a pretty good time
to be
pretty good.
Sounds good.
Any games come out this week?
Can't think of a single one.
Well. Short episode.
Nothing
then.
That anyone on this podcast is interested in.
Tears of the Kingdom, baby! I've been playing it. Blake, you've been playing
I've been playing it.
Paul?
I have watched a little bit of Stacy play it.
Stacy is Paul's partner.
Yep.
Great. So, Paul, you've been playing something else, though.
Yes. Blake has also been playing X4.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about this because let's face it, we're going to take
up I feel like Zelda is going to take up the whole podcast, and I reckon X4 could also take up the whole podcast. So we could just
delay that.
We'll delay
X4. Yeah,
but like,
because
we've both been playing this X4 game, and we've both been running up against it's a game
usability issues.
I'm really, really into it.
Yeah.
But my God, it was like an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Like the game was actively
trying to get you to not play it.
Yes. Yeah.
Every time you touch the mouse, it shocks you a little bit.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay. Blake, you told me just before the podcast that you've just gotten to Hyrule.
Yep.
Like the castle or?
No, the field in front of the castle.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah,
okay. I ran around the field a bit. I went to a stable and then,
Did you go to the town?
No.
Okay.
No. Right. I'm heading towards a blip on the map.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah. I know which blip that is.
Because I'm playing in pro UI.
Oh, you've got all the stuff turned off.
I've got all that stuff turned off.
With all that stuff turned off.
So I didn't know there was a blip to follow.
Yeah.
For quite a while. So I was just like, oh, there's a stable over there. I'm gonna just head over there, and then later on, I looked at the map and said, "Oh, there's a blip. I need to get to."
Was that stable the one with the big drawing on the ground?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
You might need to go back to that stable.
There sure is a lot of cool stuff in that game. I gotta say.
So when you start off on a giant island.
Yeah.
When you
in the sky.
When you eventually jump off and you're flying, you're falling down, you have like a good, I don't know, minute to just really look around.
Yes.
And the landscape has changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I think the big drawing that you're talking about, I did see from the sky.
Sure.
And there's just, it's like that same feeling in Breath of the Wild when you first see the massive vista.
Yeah.
Except it's like, it's way, way more.
It's
like that, but times 100.
The vista, I mean, look, big portions of the world of Hyrule are basically the same.
It's yeah.
There's like rubble around, there's new ingredients, there's new monsters.
Yeah. Like I could find the things. I was like, okay, where's the point? A point that's obvious is the volcano. So I was like, there's the volcano, there's the castle, and I was like, where's the plateau?
Yeah.
I looked through my binoculars, I was like, okay, there's the plateau. I know where, you know, things are.
Sure.
But there's also a load of other random weird things that I'm like, what is that? And what is that? And what is that? Oh my God.
Yeah. So I've gone a little bit further than you. We'll try to avoid specific story spoilers, but I'm gonna talk about probably mechanics and locations and features.
Okay.
So, listener, if you haven't played any Zelda and you don't want to hear any of that, keep listening. This because I want to ruin someone's day.
Yeah.
The world is huge. I mean, it's the Breath of the Wild size, but it's much larger than that. first of all, there's the sky stuff.
Yeah, which has its own map.
Yes, it's got its own map. I've only really just been to the starting island, but I've seen stuff on the horizon and, and you know, you can see stuff in the distance. So I know there's lots of stuff.
Yeah.
There's also an underground.
No way.
And the underground is also
huge.
The underground is, I don't know what size it is relative to the Breath of the Wild, like basic world, but it's at least a few like sections.
Holy.
Like a few like areas. Yeah. You know?
That's amazing.
And it's real weird and scary.
Mm.
And here's the other thing. Even the Breath of the Wild world is larger than it appears because they've added caves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, caves everywhere.
Yeah.
And wells.
And
have you been in a
well? No, I haven't been to a well. But I like that when you go into a cave, this little thing comes up saying discovery.
Yeah.
Like, and you make it, it's a little,
it's like,
little reward feeling of like, oh, I've found something secret, you know, even though it's like some of them are just like clearly in the path that you're walking on. And like, but still, it makes you feel like, oh, I've discovered something. This is
found the cave.
I found a cave.
It's mine.
What's in it? Yeah.
So they do that. I think they do that for a mechanical reason as well.
Oh, yeah.
In any of the caves you've been in, have you found any giant glowing blue frogs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So apparently, every cave has one.
Oh.
But only one.
Oh,
have you, did you do anything to that frog?
Killed it.
Uh-huh. And what happened?
And it dropped like a...
like a gem of some sort,
bauble of some kind. Yeah.
It was like a bubble gem or something.
Yeah.
I still don't know what those are for.
Yeah.
I've got like maybe 8 of them now.
Okay. Like that. I've got a few as well.
But every cave has one.
Yeah.
So I think the reason they mark, they say you've discovered this cave is so that you can like have a checklist of all of the caves if
I
you
see.
Wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
also something in those caves that I think maybe also be in all those caves is the little rabbit guys. Do you know those?
The
treasure goblins, essentially.
I do know what you're talking about, except those are the frogs.
Oh wait, they are the frogs.
When you, I don't know if you noticed it, but when you quote unquote kill one of those giant blue glowing frogs, they turn into the rabbit guy and then disappear.
Oh, I never noticed.
Yeah, those guys are.
I saw one
bloopies,
before I saw
way.
The frog. I saw one like run into a cave before I saw a frog.
Interesting.
And I did see one after I killed a frog, but I didn't link the two together.
Right. I think I remember seeing one run into a cave as well, and I think that it's meant to be a signal. It's
right. Meant to be like, I see.
There's one of these guys in here.
Yeah.
So why don't we talk about the starting island?
Yep.
4 little shrines. You get all your powers.
Very much like the start of Breath of the Wild.
Very much like the start, the Great Plateau in Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
What powers? Let's talk about the powers.
Mm-hmm.
Ultra Hand.
Oh, yeah.
It is a little bit fiddly to use.
I did have to Google how to do some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because maybe I like brushed through where it tells you to do stuff. like, there is a point in games for me when if too many controller tutorials pop up, I'm just like skip it.
Okay. Well, they have a lot of the prompts on screen all the time anyway. Like when you're in God Hand.
Yeah, I still had to Google how to like rotate.
Hold on.
I still had to Google how to do that.
It's on the screen.
I literally did.
That's fine.
I am playing in that.
Oh,
that pro.
Yeah, good point.
That pro
maybe they've turned
UI
off
mode.
The,
so yeah.
Yeah. Possible. So it's a bit fiddly to use.
Mm.
You can pick up pretty much any object that is just sort of a free floating, free moving object in the world.
Yeah.
You can move it, you can rotate it, you can glue it to other stuff.
Yep.
There must be some hard limit to the number of things you can glue together, but I don't know what it is.
I guess there must be, but I've never tried. but it's very cool. You really feel that that feeling of like, this is how I'm solve. Here's a problem to solve, and they give you all this stuff, and you just have to figure out how to do it. There's no right or wrong way.
Yep.
You just do it your way.
Yep.
You know.
Did you enjoy using that power?
Yes.
What did you make?
In the island, you make a lot of
boats.
a lot of boats. You make a few boats. which is fun. That's fine.
Yeah.
Easy thing. But then when you get to the, there's like minecart tracks that go from island to island. And some of them have just minecarts lying around. And that's easy. You just put them on there you glue a fan on the back and away you go. There was one that like I did that and the track was broken and I fell off and died. So what you have to do is like there's a bunch of like large metal hooks lying around. And there have been places where you've used these hooks in the past to like, you glue them to a platform.
Basically make a hang.
Yeah, yeah. And then you just like a flying fox down a thing. So yeah, I constructed a contraption of that was like a minecart with a hook and a fan and then hooked it to the rail that wasn't broken and then, you know, away I go. It was very, very cool. And then you find I tried making a hoverboard.
Did you try putting two fans underneath a piece of wood?
Yes.
Did it work?
It works for sure, but like my god, it's just out of control.
Oh yeah, because it would change direction based on your weight, right?
Yeah. So I stood in the middle, and it's like hovers for a bit, and then it just like just flies and spins all over the place.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very, very cool. And then
I didn't even think of that. That's really great.
You get these towards the end of the island, you get these gliders.
Yes.
And that is actually, like, they did this thing that I didn't even think, but, like, when you launch them, if you stand in the middle of the glider, there's, like a circular spot that you stand in.
Mm-hmm. And it'll just kind of glide. It'll
just glide.
Sort of dip and,
along. Yeah. But if you step to the side, it'll start to turn.
Yeah.
And that's how you steer it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that realization was incredible to me. Because the thing is, I was standing when we first launched. I was not standing in the exact center, and it was just turning. And I'm like, "Oh my god, what do you do here? Like, this is a cool thing, but like, it's just out of control.
This is broken."
And I'm like, "Is it guiding itself? I don't know." And then I moved again and was like, "Wait a minute!" And then realized I could control it. And I was like, "This is like the coolest thing."
Yeah,
it was so good.
Yeah. And you can augment that with fans.
Yeah. I put a fan on there. So, you know, you
keep it going.
And I also tried, getting more extreme with putting fans on the bottom and all this stuff, but it was too unstable.
Yeah. I feel like that would be the case.
Yeah.
You can get, there's a part I've seen, but I haven't used yet, which is like a control stick.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. I did see it in the trailer or something that you, showed us.
Yeah, I think it basically lets you then control it more directly.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that you can just use your weight distribution is really cool.
That's so cool. One bummer, though.
Uh-huh.
When I first left the island, I launched myself off from one of those gliders.
Uh-huh.
They have a limited use, and they just eventually disappear.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, they start... Oh. Like, I got pretty far, and then it just starts flashing.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what the hell? And it's flashing faster and faster, and then just, boom, disappears.
Interesting. Okay.
And then I just fell.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a shame.
Yeah. But I wonder if it's like...
Probably for good reason.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they, especially at the start, they want a slightly curated experience.
Yeah.
Where you land and you're near, like, the center of Hyrule, which is where you are, has... a lot of little shrines that will teach you basic mechanics like combat, blocking, using your shield, throwing weapons, that kind of thing. Yeah. And they're all kind of located near either like early towns or just like that early area.
Yeah.
And I suspect they don't want players to just build a plane and then fly into a volcano.
Yeah, I get it. Because you could literally fly to the other end of the map, I think, if you just... Yeah. Kept going.
Yeah.
Do you reckon it was a distance away that it failed it? Or do you reckon it was like a time?
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt more like a time, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it was still a decent time, but yeah, it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Then I had to like angle myself towards another floating island and like land on it.
Oh, yeah. did you manage to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But then I had to jump off that island.
If it's time-based, then technically you might be able to just jam more fans on.
Or rockets,
which
I haven't got yet.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they slowly meter out some of the more complex items.
Yep.
I've got some interesting ones, for sure.
Okay.
Do you want to hear some of the ones I've found?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's like a flame emitter.
Yep.
I found a beam emitter.
Oh.
Which basically shoots a laser.
Oh, my God.
And it it was attached to a weapon. Oh. So I basically had a laser sword.
That's so cool.
Sick.
I found there's like a spring.
Oh.
And the spring is really interesting. I put a spring on a shield.
Yeah.
And now when I block, things get thrown away.
Oh, wow. Like
they get repelled. I could also put it on a sword and make them like get knocked back.
Yeah.
I found there's like a lightning unicorn head thing that I put on a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I have my shield out and I just walk towards a guy, it gets electrocuted.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
It's really strong.
I really got into the flame emitter on a shield.
Yeah.
Because well, if you put it on a weapon, I mean that's cool, but like it flails around, like it's
yes.
But on a shield, on it's a shield, very you have directed
control.
Yeah, yeah. So you just walk up to guys and go boom, and then they're on fire and they die, and you're like, this is great. I just have a flamethrower now.
At this point, we're talking about the second power, which is called fusion.
Yes,
fuse, right.
Yes, yes.
The other one I found, which I haven't quite used yet, but I've got three of them.
Is
cannons.
Cannons.
Yeah.
What does that do?
I assume it launches a projectile.
You haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I have found it. I haven't used it yet.
Oh,
it's a capsule form.
Oh right, yeah. Okay.
So,
yeah,
Paul, if you don't know, there's all these little devices, and you can find them all over the world, just like lying around, and you can slap them on your weapons just through fusion. But yeah, you could also carry them in your inventory if you get them from like specific devices or chests. So yeah.
The device you get it from, I find incredibly satisfying.
it's just like a gotcha.
It is
machine.
But it's a capsule, when you put them in thing. And the little marbles roll out, you're like, this is so satisfying to me. Yeah.
It's really a clever way to make it feel fun.
Yeah,
like it's is all the really
output actually random.
I assume there's weighted randomness, and I assume there's restrictions.
I think it is. I was trying to figure out if there was like recipes, you know, like you combine two different things, but I don't think there is.
It's a quantity more than it is a recipe.
Yeah. It's like the more stuff you get in, you get like way more stuff out.
What do you put in?
You put in, what are they, like the
Zonai
charges?
Like the power sources you get from the constructs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those can be consumed to restore your battery, or they can be like, I guess, combined to make other regents that will later let you improve your battery capacity and stuff.
Yep.
Or you can just use them as basically currency to get more devices.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I just sat there just unloading them into this machine and just getting so many. Had like 30 something fans.
Yeah.
At the end, it's like, man, this is great.
So there's a lot of experimentation I want to try. So for example, I found a place where there was just a few springs lying around, and I already had one that fused to my shield because I found the shield with it fused to it.
Right.
But the way the springs work is like they lock in place, and then when you can step on them, and then you hit them with your sword, and they just like trigger and they shoot you up.
Oh wow!
If you attach two of them together, they will double the height that you get shot up. And I've only found two, but I'm keen to stack them up and see like what happens.
Yep.
It's the physics in that game are so solid. Like,
it's pretty amazing the way everything plays off everything else.
But the thing is that if it all works in a way that both A, you would expect, and not like in a wacky, like glitchy way, and B, in like a really stable way.
Yeah.
So like, Oblivion and Skyrim, whatever, they all have, all these games have physics. You can move things around. You can drag bodies around or whatever. But like, if a door closes on body, everything freaks out.
Yeah.
You know? This game seems very, very solid with the physics.
You're right. I've not encountered any physics bugs for a game that's so
reliant on
physics. Yeah. Like everything, like I was saying, the hoverboard, like going out of control. I'm like, yeah, of course it did. Of course it went out of control. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
It felt to me, there was a point when I was like trying to build this thing. It felt a little bit like Kerbal Space Program.
Yes.
In a way of like the physics is so on point that like you really have to be like, okay, if this fan is slightly too much in this direction,
yeah,
it's going to spin in a in a way you don't want.
Yeah. There was a shrine I found, which involved, like, basically giant balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and essentially there's a giant container of balls.
Yeah.
And in any other game, I feel like if I tried to walk through the giant container of balls, they would all be shifting around.
Yeah.
I would get, like, if like, I tried to climb up them or whatever, my character's animations would get all weird, you know, there would just be weirdness.
It's like doing something like that, you're just asking for physics trouble.
Yes. Yeah. I would just expect to, like, get trapped in there. I'd expect things to shift out of the way and my character to fall through or get crushed or whatever. Like, I would expect for...
problems.
Behavior I'm not intending.
Mm.
Or that I, you know, that are just, like, game physics.
Mm.
But this was so solid.
Yeah.
Like, the balls only moved when it made sense for them to move. And the animation system worked basically flawlessly with Link moving through the balls, like, jumping up and trying to climb around all these different heights. Like, there was no jitteriness.
Yeah, yeah.
And keeping in mind, this is on the Switch.
Yeah.
Which is not a strong system. Like, it's genuinely impressive what they've done.
It really is. Like, even, I think even in, like, Breath of the Wild, I remember not ever running into too many, like, well, even, I can't even think of a single time I ran into, like, a physics problem in Breath of the Wild.
Just very polished.
Yeah, and this has even more physics going on. And things and, that actually need, like, the fans.
Custom physics as well. Yeah. Like, player-driven physics. Yeah. Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, you can build so many weird things. You can take any object in your inventory that you can drop can be fused to something.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So, like, I had, like, I made a chain of the choo-choo jellies.
Oh, right.
You know, the little blue guys? I just made a chain of the choo-choo jellies, like, the things they drop.
Yeah.
And it just works. Like, there's nothing.
It just works fine.
Nothing wrong with it. I moved the chain over to a fire.
Yeah.
And the choo-choo jelly started to burn.
Yeah.
And then some of them popped into their yellow form,
yeah,
which is, like, the explosive form.
Did they stay stuck together?
No, they did. They broke, but that's
fine. Yeah, yeah. That's fine. Like, yeah. I mean, technically it becomes a different,
it's a different object. Item.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it just made sense. But I could have probably slapped those things back together.
Yeah. There was...
It's just very impressive.
I picked up a huge, like, spear recently. And I was like, oh, this is like a huge long weapon. I don't remember seeing one of these before. And then I realized it's actually like two weapons, like two spears, regular size spears glued together. And I was like, oh my God. And I like that they have those already around the place. Because, like, yeah, I know that you could put objects onto things, but I didn't really think of, like, putting a weapon onto another weapon.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm like, well, how big can I make a spear? Can I just continually glue more and
what
more
is the
weapons
answer to that? I kind of need to know.
There is an answer. Once an item has been fused, you can't fuse it again.
I see.
But there's a difference between fusion and Ultra Hand, so that's really important distinction. Ultra Hand is like sticking objects together and using the physics to do stuff, basically. And fusion is like sticking specific objects together and combining their properties
to make a new object,
new object, basically.
So,
like, you can, that's where the two weapons thing comes around. But you can do all sorts of stuff. It's not just limited to, like, weapons. You can put a mushroom on a spear, and then it makes the spear bounce enemies back when you hit them.
Oh, wow. I found a spear that had a fish on it, and I was like, is that glued, or is that just, like, someone had been spearfishing?
Question. Have you found any of the new enemies other than the constructs?
Yes.
What have you found?
So in one of those caves that we were talking about, there were these, like, weird, almost monkey-type guys.
Yeah. They're called Horriblins.
Yeah.
And they look, you're kind of right. They look like monkey.
Well, they swing around on the roof.
Yeah.
They swing around on the roof.
They crawl on the roof, in fact.
They
move around, and that's probably where you got your double spear. So they
That is where I got the double spear. Yeah.
They use these super long range spear weapons to hit you from the roof. They're really annoying.
They're like, you really got to, like, look up when you go into things.
You probably, while you were on the island, you probably also saw a different one, which is the like. It looks like a giant like barnacle stuck to the roof.
Is it a big worm thing?
Yeah.
And it's I did see that thing. Yeah.
Did you kill it?
Yeah. I killed two of them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Those things are pretty hard.
Yeah.
They're a classic Zelda enemy.
Yeah.
And in other Zelda games, they're really slow moving.
Mm.
They have a lot of health, and they're easy to like kill.
Mm.
But they're also a bit scary because they will eat your items.
Oh, really?
And they'll eat your items in this as well.
Oh.
But in this, they're quite a lot more difficult because they have this one weak point.
Yeah.
That's like protected that you have to lure out.
Yeah. Their weak point only appears when they attack you.
Yeah.
So you have to wait for them to attack you and then hit them right at the right time to like basically stop their attack. And they
get weak for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, the first time I came up against that, I was like, what the hell is this thing? How do I? And it's like basically right in a path. So it's like my way forward is past this thing.
Yeah.
And I threw a bunch of bombs at it. And I was like, that hurt it, but it didn't kill it.
Yeah. They've done some clever things in this game. They did a little bit of this in Breath of the Wild as well.
Yeah.
Where they take the existing enemies and they make a bunch of different varieties of them as well.
Hmm.
So the like, I found two other kinds so far.
Oh, really?
One is covered in rocks, and it spits boulders at you.
Oh, Jesus.
Which you could use the other ability we haven't talked about, which is recall.
Yep.
You can reverse the trajectory of the boulders it's spitting at you so that it flies it back into it, cracks the rock shell, and then it's just spit like a normal like. The other one I found was spitting lightning projectiles at me. It was a lightning
like. Oh, my God.
And that one was really hard.
Yeah. Holy hell.
I want to tell you about a stretch of maybe an hour or two of Zelda I played the other night, because I think this perfectly exemplifies why this game is great.
Yep.
I was going towards sort of the general vicinity of an objective I have. Like, it's one of the main quest objectives.
Yep.
And I was just sort of taking a loose route. I was actually sort of sticking to one of the paths.
Okay.
And then off to the side, I saw a guy sort of, you know, fair bit off the road. And he was standing in front of the mouth of a cave, and I go over to talk to him, and he's talking about like how he's heard all these rumors about caves, and he wants to go in and get the treasure that he's heard is in this cave, but he's afraid. But I go in. I'm pretty sure this is the cave. It's like kind of a winding, circuitous cave with a river running through it.
Okay.
Lots of little waterfalls as you're walking through the cave.
Okay.
Like, because you're kind of going up through the cave. And I noticed that there's like a glowing effect behind one of the waterfalls, like just a loose glow.
Hmm.
And I go behind the waterfall, and there's like a little shrine with like a chest. And I open up the chest and I get some gear. And then I go back out and I finish up going to the top of the cave. And the cave sort of has a dead end, except that there's like a little hole in the ceiling where water's pouring through.
Oh, yeah.
So I use my ascend ability and I go back up to the surface. And when I get to the surface, I'm in front of a stable.
Huh.
And so I'm in front of the stable and I go there and there's like a well near the stable. So I jump down and I explore the well for a little while, which is another cave.
Wow.
I go back up.
Yeah.
Someone at the stable tells me that there's like an NPC nearby that I should talk to. So I go talk to that NPC.
Yeah.
And it's this giant, it's one of the important NPCs, and she's investigating this giant glyph that's on the ground right in front of the stable.
Right. Okay.
And I do this like glyph thing.
Yep.
I don't want to spoil that too much.
Okay.
And there's also a shrine nearby at the stable. After I do the glyph thing, I go over this hill, and there's like a few bokoblins around a camp. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll fight these bokoblins. I walk over, and they spot me. They blow their horn, and then the camp rises out of the ground.
Oh, my God.
And it's on the back of a stone talus.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm fighting this bokoblin camp on the back of a stone talus. And this is within, like, at no point had I been out of sight of any of these things.
Yeah,
like,
it
was all, it was just a sequence of events with virtually no downtime.
It was this, and then this, and then this, and then this.
Yeah.
But Breath of the Wild was pretty good at that.
Yes.
Yeah. There was always, like, there was always something on the horizon or nearby that took your interest.
One of the things in Breath of the Wild, though, or at least for me anyway, was that those things, when they took your interest, would quite often take, like, ages to get there.
Mm.
Like, you might be like, okay, I want to go to this thing that's up the mountain. But then you're looking at, like, at least a few minutes of like actual climbing. Yeah. And that is pretty heavy downtime compared to like, it sounds like this is much more condensed.
It's interesting because they give you, I think it's, I don't know that it's necessarily more condensed, but they've given you better tools to navigate the world.
Yeah.
So in Breath of the Wild, most of your tools were about, like puzzles or like environment manipulation, and very little of it was for like navigation. Cryonesis or the ice block skill, whatever it was called, that was probably your only really navigation themed ability.
And it was still that was a pain.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to use.
Yeah, doing a whole like what do you call it, stepping stone type thing across like a lake. It was just a pain. You know?
Yeah. At least compared to to what you can do in this game. Ascend, for example, gets you out of any cave at pretty much at any point, and it will just get you back to the surface wherever that is. But it can also be used to like get to a platform that's above you. You know, if you've just cleared out a camp of bokoblins, in Breath of the Wild, sometimes they have these towers. And you could you'd have to like climb a ladder to get to the top of them. Instead, you can just use Ascend and you zip up immediately. But if you find a cave in a cliff face, I think the cliff face is really tall and you don't want to climb it, you can just ascend to the top.
Yeah, okay, that sounds really nice. Because I spent like a lot of time just climbing walls.
Yeah.
In Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I would see something, I would want to go up there and I would just like be determined to go up there.
Yeah.
Sometimes like save in case your stamina was going to run out halfway up.
Yeah.
And then it would, halfway up, it would start to rain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, no.
They've got items that give you like rain climbing ability.
Oh, nice.
Like,
that's good.
Like there's, you can craft like elixirs and stuff that will let you climb in the rain.
I swore in Breath of the Wild that like anytime I started climbing something tall, it just started raining halfway. And I'm like, oh, my God. I remember climbing to some really tall place where there was a shrine and a tower.
Yeah.
I had to wait on a ledge like for the rain to stop before I could start climbing again.
Had you considered lighting a fire and resting for the day?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. No.
Yeah. They give you a lot of tools. But the thing is,
that
was,
I mean, that's true. I didn't even think of that. But that is a memory of mine that I'm just like, it just felt like a real situation that I'm just like stuck in, and I was like, I'm just in it. Yeah. I'm just living in the moment of like, I'm climbing up this thing and then it starts to rain. And then I'm like sitting on this ledge and I'm looking out over the vista in the rain, just waiting for it to stop.
Yeah.
And then eventually it stopped and I kept climbing.
It's, Tears of the Kingdom is going to have some of the same elements that frustrate people or that frustrated people in Breath of the Wild. If they felt that way, Breath of the Wild, but I think they give you more things to do in the downtime and ways to avoid it as well. So, like, the ways to avoid it we've kind of covered. Although, like, another way to ascend a mountain is to strap a rocket to your shield.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing you can do.
Yeah.
Like, there's just lots of different ways to go up in this game.
Yep. Which, as far as I remember, there was, like, one thing you could do where you could...
Revali's Gale was, like, the ability where you'd hold jump and you'd shoot up into the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did feel like a lot of the game was about getting up high places with no real mechanism other than climbing.
And then,
whereas now they're like rockets, sure. That does legitimately sound like it takes away a lot of the annoyances I had with.
Yeah.
It really sounds like they watched what speedrunners were doing and were like, let's embrace it. Part of the game.
I mean, the Ascend ability apparently actually started as a QA tool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a debugging tool.
Yeah.
Wow. So I kind of love that because how many games can you think of where they saw that they went, oh, actually this makes this game better. Yeah. Let's just put it in.
It's basically like having, because we have Noclip in Path of Exile, and it's just like, what if we made that part of the game? It's crazy.
Yep. So the other thing they do is they give you ways to do stuff during your downtime. Like there are zonai cooking pots. So you can just deploy a cooking pot wherever you are. And you can just cook for a while.
I actually really like that.
Yeah.
Because I hated, well, it was like an upkeep thing of like, if you're getting low on food, oh, I've got to find a,
go to a town,
go to a stable, you know. Yeah.
Or it's like, oh, I've just gotten to the mountain region and I don't have the warming food I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to go back.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I can actually just make something now.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Which I really like.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
And they've added a lot to the recipe system.
Okay.
Like, there's lots of new ingredients. Like, lots.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about some of, like, the stuff you haven't seen yet?
Yeah, all right.
Like, the underground area?
Yeah, tell me about that. Like, that blows my mind. That reminds me a lot of
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring.
And when you felt that feeling when you first found the underground players and you're just like, oh, there's a whole other thing.
You realize that the map is like, I don't know, twice as large as it,
yeah,
it actually is.
Yeah. So this is true basically for Tears of the Kingdom.
Holy heck.
Except then you've also got the sky.
Then you've also got the sky. Oh my God.
and also just the fact that there's like kind of two kinds of underground.
Yeah.
There's like like I said, there's wells and caves.
Oh, yeah.
Which are sometimes extensive.
Yeah.
Like multiple chambers,
wow,
breakable walls, secret tunnels, all sorts of stuff. And then there's like the what they call like the deep or the chasm.
Right.
Which is the gaps where Hyrule Castle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, went raised up, it left this big hole in the ground.
Right, yeah.
You can fall in there.
Whoa.
And you fall for a really long time. And then you get to, like, the surface.
Yeah.
And it's pitch black.
Holy heck.
But you've got these things called, like, bright seeds.
Yep.
And this might have been a thing in in Breath of the Wild, but I never used it. But you can just throw items in your inventory. Did you know that?
Throw them.
Yeah, I'm not talking weapons. I'm talking like
items. I mean, items. I know you can drop them, but
yeah, no, you can throw them.
I don't remember being able to throw anything.
Yeah, I think you might have been able to, but I just never used it. But
yeah,
if you hold down the button to throw your weapon,
yeah,
and then you press up on the D-pad in Tears of the Kingdom,
yeah,
it'll bring up your like inventory items,
yeah,
and then you can just select one, and it'll swap out your weapon for that.
Oh yeah,
so you can just throw bright seeds.
Right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
They'll light up portions of this pitch black area.
That's good, because I went through a small pitch black section, and I attached it to my arrow.
Yes, you can do that too.
Yeah, but I'm like, then I'm using arrows.
Yeah, yeah, so you can just hurl them like grenades.
Oh, that's good.
I think you're talking about the minecart area, right?
The minecart area had that, yeah, yeah.
So this is a whole area of just basically that.
Wow.
But it's got its own ecosystem.
Oh.
It's got its own trees. It's got its own insects.
Oh my God, that's so exciting!
It's got
exciting.
Its own enemies. It's got its own mechanic.
Yeah.
So there's this gloom mechanic, which is like there's patches on the ground that are like purpley and swirly.
Yeah.
And if you stand in them, you'll lose a heart, but it'll be you'll lose a maximum heart.
Right.
So it like can't be refilled until you go back to the surface.
Oh.
Yeah.
Holy heck.
So it's pretty scary. Mm-hmm. And the enemies in there will deal gloom damage.
Oh my God!
As well,
dude,
so,
this is amazing.
So it's like an attrition mechanic.
Yeah, yeah.
That keeps. I mean, I think one of the criticisms leveled against Breath of the Wild was like, you can cook basically max heart food.
Yeah,
and that was just sort of how you could get through the game without ever actually bothering with most of the mechanics.
Yeah,
yeah.
And this prevents you from kind of doing
that. That is cool. I like it. I like that a lot.
That
sounds fun.
It's really cool, and it's scary.
Yeah, that's what I like though, because I like Breath of the Wild started off quite scary.
Yeah,
because you're very weak, and I and like so does this because you're back to being like, three heart guy.
We call him Three Heart Link.
Three Heart Link. you know, eventually, you became like so powerful that really nothing much really bothered you.
Yep.
Yeah, you could kind of make the game really quite easy.
Yeah.
Just getting enough hearts.
Yeah.
And in armor, like you could upgrade all of your armor and get tons of damage reduction.
Like you can get so powerful that the game then becomes like this just play thing,
yeah,
which is still fun. Yeah, but it's yeah. it's not the. That's why you like what was it, Tidal Island or no? What's it called?
Evertide Island.
Evertide Island.
Yeah,
because it knocks you back down, takes away all your stuff,
reverse. Start again.
Start again, and you're back to that like scrounging around and hitting stuff with sticks, which is great. But then it sounds like there's a dungeon.
It doesn't quite do that, but it has the potential
to still hurt you quite a lot.
Yeah.
And like you can't just max heart your way through it.
Yeah. Mm. Now there are like recipes you can cook to restore that max heart stuff.
Oh yeah.
But I think that's fine, like, because it's a mechanic you're engaging in, and it's different to just like, you know, the one recipe.
Yeah.
And man, there's just so much to this game.
That is very cool.
I've done maybe about 10 or 11 shrines now, and I've done maybe about 30 Korok seeds.
Oh, right. Have you upgraded your inventory space?
No, I haven't met Hestu yet.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
I have not either, and okay. I'm wondering when I can do that.
It's interesting. You start off with more inventory
space.
But it feels, I would argue, it feels more constrained, and that's because of the fusion mechanic. Your weapons are so tied to your utility now.
Yeah.
That you want to keep a range of different kinds of weapons. And then you always kind of want to have some blank slots to do more stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Because, like, every time you find a new object, it's like, what can I do with this?
Yeah.
What is a beam emitter on a shield do? Yeah. I don't know. I still don't know.
Yeah. Is there limited space for the capsules?
No.
So you can just carry around
as many as you want. They're just in your inventory like apples.
Yeah.
You know, you can just have a million of them.
Yeah. You know, like a purse would.
Like a purse.
A million apples.
A million.
On your person.
You don't carry around a million apples? What happens if you lose a heart?
I tend to go with mushrooms.
That's cheating because you can dry them.
Yeah. What a great game.
It's great. It's got that thing that... I hadn't actually felt in Breath of the Wild for a while because, like, I'd been playing that game for a lot and I felt like I'd really explored quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it's got that thing of, like, there's so much to explore that you just feel like you can't explore it all at once. Like, just even on that starting island, I ran around like a maniac, just being like, what's over here? What's over here? Like, running around and not really moving on from a section until I felt like I had fully experienced that whole little area.
Yep.
And even so, I still left that area feeling like I definitely didn't, like, explore everything there at all. Like...
You definitely didn't.
I know that there's... I know there's, like, there's the cube...
The cube boss. Yeah, it's called a flux construct.
Yeah, so I didn't fight that thing, but I saw it and was like, I'm sure I'll get there eventually, but...
No, totally optional. No,
yeah.
Totally optional. And it's really interesting to me, because, like, it's not super easy to get there. Navigating that starting island, because it's got a giant donut hole in the middle, is quite tricky. It's broken up into sections.
Yeah.
You have to build a lot of bridges.
It flowed.
Lots of bridges. You have to eat lots of warming food.
Yeah.
There's like lots of different things you have to do just to sort of navigate.
It flowed really well, though, I felt. Like, once I got to the... Because you're aiming for this time temple at the start. So you... once
it's called the Temple of Time. Time this Temple.
Time. Temple. This oh. Time Temple.
Temple.
Time, this temple.
Temple.
I quit this podcast.
You're heading for this Temple of Time. And then once you get there, they're like, okay, now you got to go to these shrines, right? Very much like that first plateau. But I remember looking at the map going like, how am I going to navigate this thing?
Yeah.
You know, and then I just sort of started going around like from interesting thing to interesting thing. And then before I knew it, I was like halfway around this donut. And I was like, oh my God, this flows so well, you know. And then you get to the end and then you can look through and be like, oh, I remember being there. I remember being there. I remember being there. I mean, it's so great.
It's very, very well designed.
I really like it a lot.
I hit a hiccup on that island.
Oh yeah.
And I wonder if Stace, you said that that she got a bit lost. And
yeah.
It might have been the same thing I had.
Part lost, part I think she got a little bit frustrated with the combining, what's it called, like the hand combining skill.
Yeah, ultra hand?
Yeah. Hand combining. Yeah, that's the official term, right?
Yeah, sticky hands.
Sticky hands. Yeah. Sticky hands. And that it sounded like she had to do the same thing like several times in a row. And just got a little bit, I guess, put off by that.
Right, okay.
But like, I get it, it's a tutorial. They really want to like enforce.
Yeah.
But it was sort of enough for her to like stop playing for a bit.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. The part I got, I guess, a bit lost on, in the ice mountain area, you can't climb up the ice walls. And so you have to look for a little sliver of non-ice wall to climb up. And I did not even think to look for that.
Oh.
I circled the mountain.
Yeah.
And then I went down.
Yeah.
And I kept going down. And I thought, oh, it must be like some sort of circuitous route.
You got to go down before you go up.
And I ended up basically crossing back over to the starting area.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a one-way thing.
Oh, no.
And
oh, no.
I had to go back and do it all again.
Oh, no.
But and then I found this little sliver of land that I could climb up, and I also found out I could have just gone back, no problem, and it would have been fine.
I ran into a similar thing. Yeah. Like I got to a point where it's like I knew you had to find the little sliver to climb up.
Okay.
And then but then from there to get to the actual top.
Yeah.
It looked like I had to go sort of down to a lower platform and then climb up this sliver.
But that wasn't the
and
case.
And I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So what I did, there was a big tree.
Yeah, just outside the cave.
Yeah, just outside
the cave. I saw that as well. I was like, maybe
I climbed up
that.
The tree, and then I was like right at the shrine. I was like, great, done.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Man, what a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. I did feel like I short doing that. I feel like there's a good chunk that I just missed out completely because I didn't go this way where I had to like climb up this like little sliver in the
There's like a little monster encounter, like a construct plateau thing.
Yeah.
And there's like, I think there's like a Korok seed or two around there.
Speaking of Korok seeds, there was a encounter with a Korok with a giant backpack. And he was like, oh, I need to get over to my friend on the other side over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, no problem. I'll make a thing and get over there. And I made it, walked over to the other guy, and he's like, oh, my friend, he's over there. I was like, what? I don't understand. I've just solved the puzzle. And then I just carried on, was like, maybe I'll come back to it later. I found another guy like that, like an hour later.
Yeah.
Did the same thing. And I'm like, what is up with these guys? And then just using the ultra hand, suddenly realized that the Korok backpack is highlighted.
Yeah.
And so I picked him up and put him in the contraption I made and like went across there with him, then put him up and put him next to his friend. And he's like, I made it. Like, oh my God.
I like that.
There's lots of those, and some of them are like huge gaps.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like gaps that will require you to like build something quite ridiculous.
But that, I didn't at all think that I could pick up the guy.
There are a few new Korok puzzle mechanics, which I really like. I like that they've upped the variety. I mean, they already had quite a few in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Like, they've got some of the classics, you know, your metal blocks.
Yep.
And your...
They got the stone circles. I found one of those.
Yep. You're diving into a circle one, and they've got like shooting balloons. They've got a bunch.
Rock in a tree.
Yep, Rocket the Tree is back. Some of the new ones. There's the pair, reuniting the pair.
Yep.
Which is like probably the hardest of the bunch, but also rewards two Korok seeds.
Oh, right. I actually didn't even realize it rewarded me two. That's cool.
Because you're helping two Koroks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's but it's cool. Also because it's like way more effort.
Yeah.
than lifting a rock, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But then they've got like a dandelion. Sometimes you'll find a dandelion.
Oh.
And if you hit it with a gust, it will produce like a dandelion seed.
Oh.
And it will fall. And I think the challenge is to catch the dandelion seed before it touches the ground.
Oh, weird.
So I've done a couple of those. I found one that was like you have to use ascend through a Korok, like wood platform thing.
Oh.
Like it was on the underside of the Temple of Time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like a broken pillar.
Oh.
And I was like, that's cool. And I went under there, and there was like a little wooden circle thing, and I used to send, and I went to the top, and I was like, here's a Korok seed.
Oh, wow. Great.
So how does the sand actually work? Like, do you just pick an area above you and just pop up
it's,
to it?
It's the area directly above Link, wherever Link is. Yeah. So it's you can have the ability basically active, and you can move around, and it'll tell you when you're basically in a valid area. And a valid area, as far as I can tell, is like there's a maximum height that it'll work on.
Mm.
As in like a maximum space between Link and the ceiling, not between Link and his eventual destination.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because so you can go you can through go a mountain.
Very far.
Yeah.
You can go extremely far, like upwards.
Yeah.
And I think it also maybe has to be flat.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. I have noticed that because I ascended up through some of the floating islands.
Yeah.
And the floating islands have uneven rocks underneath.
Yeah.
Except they have these like tall pillar things that are coming down with flat ends.
Yeah.
And that's like part of the ancient like architecture.
Yeah.
But it like the icon that is projected onto the surface that you're shooting through, that will glow green when you can shoot through it, and it only did that on that flat.
So like, they've got surface. Like that's probably good for some puzzles and stuff, right? Where they've got like a specific place where they want you to start.
Yeah, yeah.
They can just make everything else rough, and then
exactly. But it's also loose enough that in the general world, it works 95% of the time. So like, I'm walking through a cave, and at pretty much any point, I can just go to the surface.
Yeah,
and that it will support that no matter where the surface is.
Mm.
Yeah,
like it could take me to the very top of a mountain. It could take me to like inside someone's home.
Yeah,
and it works.
Yep.
There is a thing in caves to watch out for though, where because you can have platforms inside caves.
Yeah.
With treasure on top of them.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, when I beat those
Horriblins.
Those Horriblins. Yeah,
they have these little platforms. They had these
platforms up high. No. And I was like, oh, great, there's treasure up there. Walked up to what I thought was, I was directly under one, hit ascend, and I popped up at the top of a mountain and was like, oh, no.
But you can go back down.
Well, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can, but I just automatically.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great mechanic because it freezes time when you use it.
Yeah.
And so you'll appear at your destination. And you basically confirm whether or not you actually want to pop through.
Yeah.
And time's frozen. You can look around. You can make sure that you're where you want to be.
Mm.
If you don't want to be there, you press B and it sends you back down to your original location.
But if you're impatient and just...
Yeah, if you're Blake.
Automatically hit okay when you didn't mean to and you're like, oh, crap, now I'm at the top of a mountain.
Yeah. It's really good. I really like Ascend. It's probably...
It is cool.
I think it might be the...
How long... Was there some time period it took you to remember that you actually have this power? And to remember to use it?
Not really.
Because it definitely, like, I was like, I was still so much, I think, in the Breath of the Wild mindset of, like, traversing stuff.
You know what, though? I just realized something so obvious.
Yeah.
You know the whole thing where I went around that mountain.
You could have ascended.
I could have just ascended.
Yeah.
Like from inside of the cave. The cave is below the shrine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See?
So it turns out, there was a period of time where I didn't remember that.
That's a good point. Yeah, you could have gone through. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. What a great game.
That's so cool. That is great. I do wish.
Yeah.
That they had a little more references to the first game story. Like all the...
Oh, they do.
They do? Like all the divine beasts are just like gone. Like
Yeah. So that's a fair point. That the original shrines are gone. The divine beasts are gone. A lot of like the little landmark things seem to be... Or at least the things that were sort of more game mechanic.
Yeah.
They seem to be gone.
Like I get why. Because it's like a new game and you want the new thing. But like... This is like the continuation of that same world. Like some of those things should still be there.
Yeah. I mean, it's been several years.
And the very fact that you get a different tablet annoyed me.
The Pura pad?
Yeah, I'm like, why isn't it just the same one?
The Sheikah Slate?
But I mean, I guess you could be like, okay, that one was like, the one you've got now is Zelda has like upgraded it maybe. Maybe that's the same one because it kind of looks like the same
technology. They do go into it a little bit.
But it's just like, why don't you just call it that? Because it's like that was a carryover from the old one.
It's a fair point. I think the justification there is that the Pura pad, the Sheikah Slate that you had, is gone because I think you had it when you were like wiped out by Ganondorf or whatever that mummy was.
Right.
So like you lose everything.
Yeah, I know you lose. Right. I know you lose everything.
So I suspect he had it then.
Yeah.
And it's just gone. And and Zelda had her own thing.
Yeah.
And she gets it over to you.
Yeah.
Now I don't. That's not.
I don't know. I just feel like this is your headcanon.
Yeah.
I just feel like I want some further connections to it, you know. Just story-wise, just mentions, you know, like
the thing is they do.
They do? Okay, yeah, good.
You've only just landed basically, right? So I think you're getting a little ahead of yourself here.
Okay.
Do you think you have to play the first one to play the second?
No. I don't think so. And in fact, I think in some ways you'll have even better.
You'll have no preconceived notions that we had of like traversal that
there's that, but also you know, like nothing's going to be familiar, so it's all going to be novel.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like one of the great things about Breath of the Wild was how novel it was. Everything was so wondrous. Mm. You kind of go into a new area and there's all these crazy things and you're like, "Wow, wow, wow."
I do like that you still get that though as a player because the world has changed so much. You're like, you recognize it, but it's new. You know,
yeah.
You can appreciate the newness of this, and how the landscape has changed since the other game.
They've also just layered on these new elements that are wondrous in their own way. Like I think the ground glyphs are an example. Like those,
okay,
they're called geoglyphs. I think is what they call
them.
The scale of them is ridiculous and there's a mechanic associated with them.
Oh, wow.
And like the whole height of the game, the scale of
that is something that really surprised me was like we all knew there was floating islands.
Yeah.
I did not even think how high the floating islands would be.
Yeah.
Like I thought you could just easily see the ground.
The thing that shocked me, like you have this sort of intro where you fall off of a, you know, you go from a starter island to the main island, basically, right?
Yeah.
But when I went back to that starter island for like the last shrine of the starter island.
Yeah.
And then I fell back down. The height, I did not realize just how high that was compared to the other sky islands.
Yeah.
Like there's huge amounts of verticality in just the sky, let alone the ground.
That's gonna go.
They have a good mechanic of if you fall into water, you are completely 100% fine, no matter what height you fell from.
Yeah,
which is great because jumping off the islands is terrifying. you can control your fall.
Yeah.
Which is good. So you can aim for bodies of water. So that's good. But like
you not, also
not having the
hang glider.
The hang glider was
you get the hang glider again.
I figure you well, I've seen in the trailers you have a hang glider, but like you don't have it to begin with, and I'm like, this is so foreign to me without the hang glider. I feel so weird without
it. You find it in the first game though too, right?
You get it at the end of the starting plateau.
Yeah. Right. You don't have it for like, you know, an hour or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one other thing I just want to mention
quickly
is just how good the writing in that game is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, the thing about Breath of the Wild that people love to critique is the quote unquote the story.
Mm.
And I think people tend to conflate the cutscenes with the story, but the cutscenes aren't the story. The cutscenes are cutscenes.
Yeah, yeah.
And even you know, there's not just one story in Breath of the Wild. There's like tons of them.
Oh yeah.
Every NPC is has their own thing going on, and the same is true in Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm.
Like I went to, do you remember Hateno Village?
Which village was that?
Hateno Village is the, it's like you may have gotten there about second in Breath of the Wild. It's like kind of close to the sea, but it's kind of up some mountains.
Yep. Is it the one with the
There's like a dye shop.
Yes.
And there's like a lab up there.
Yeah,
hill.
The lab one. Yeah.
And you have to do the blue flame run.
Yep. Yes, I remember that. Yep.
So
that's where you get your house.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I made it there last night, and the whole village has pretty much changed.
Oh, that's so cool.
And there's just like lots of little storylines.
Yep.
Some of them are really interesting. Mm. Some of them are pretty straightforward. Some of them are like quite deep.
Yep.
And multi-part. And it's just all of the characters have their own thing. It's just so interesting. And there's all this internal consistency as well. Like the family members will reference each other and they'll speak a certain way. And it's just really good writing. So I think, you know, the number of NPCs that I'm going to be talking to, I'm just really excited. What a great game.
It is really good. It's so damn good. I'm excited to just play more of it now. Yeah. Like there's also the thing of like, yes, it's got all that awesome exploration stuff.
Yep.
But I'm also just excited to just try and make wacky new contraptions.
Yep.
You know, like just spend, you know, 40 minutes trying to build a weird like plane.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you haven't even seen wheels yet.
No. Oh my God.
There are wheels.
Wow.
Oh, I was going to ask, is there anything, when you use the attachy hand?
Yeah, ultra hand. We can just call attachy. Sticky hands is fine.
Sticky hands. Yep. Sticky attachy hands. Are those bones, joints always solid? Or
are they rubbery?
They're solid. Any flexible ones?
That, as far as I can tell, they're all rigid, but there might be materials that are flexible. Mm. I don't really know yet.
Yeah. I was just wondering whether you could do like, bendable points in any of the things, like hinges,
right?
Like hinges or anything.
Good question. I don't know yet.
Okay,
but you can do wheels, and you can. I haven't tested this yet, but I suspect you can attach things to the bottom sides of wheels.
Yeah, you could,
like the parts that roll.
Construct a hinge with a wheel, maybe.
Yeah.
So can you make a giant thing that walks?
It's possible. I'm not going to rule it out.
I just started wondering this earlier when you were talking about how many. Things you can attach.
The thing that you'd struggle with is having any control over the walking motion.
Yeah.
Because most of it is done by either weight distribution or direct force. There's no like, and it's either on or it's off.
Yeah.
Like on mass. So if you were to make a pair of legs and you were to put fans to move the legs, both fans would turn on at the same time. So you'd get both legs moving at the same time in the same direction or in whatever direction those fans are pointed it. So I think you'd be pretty hard pressed to make something that walks.
Have you seen that the contraptions that dude makes on the beach that are all
the wind-powered ones?
Wind-powered.
Oh yeah. I know exactly.
That's a lot of hinges.
That's a lot of hinges.
Yeah. That's a good point. I wonder how much you can do with wind. Because there are places that are just kind of forever windy as well.
Yeah.
Oh man. I have seen on the internet, someone made a humanoid with a giant flaming penis.
That sounds great.
So you can do that.
Yep.
Can you put a hinge on that penis, though?
like I said, maybe.
Can you put if a you rocket put a, on it?
If you put
can
a,
you put a rocket and a hinge?
If you put a wheel in the middle of the penis.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm very excited. There's so many things. There's all these little ingredients I've collected that I haven't even really taken a close look at. Like, I don't know what you can do with a cannon yet.
With what?
The cannon.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, I can strap that to the front of a car, probably, and drive around shooting stuff.
Put it on a shield and see what happens.
I could put it on a shield. I could put it on a sword. I could just...
Cannon sword, gun sword.
Put it on a block if I wanted to.
Yeah.
We haven't even...
Put it on an arrow and fire it at someone?
I think you can.
Yeah.
I think you can. I've seen someone put a rocket on an arrow and fire a rocket arrow.
Holy hell.
I read you
cannon.
Could, I read you can, there were boomerangs in Breath of the Wild that were pretty crummy.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I've heard you can put a rocket on a boomerang and it's amazing.
That's great.
So like the sheer number of permutations of cool stuff that you can just try exploring, and some of it will be effective, some of it won't be, but like it's exciting.
I really like it's given an extra use for the monster parts.
Yeah, it's and monster parts have become really important.
Yeah, because they used to just be elixirs, and
yeah,
and like I mostly basically always just sold them all because I just didn't need elixirs all that much. But now I'm like, actually, no, I'll hold on to a bunch of them because they increase damage and increase like all sorts of things.
Actually, there's a thing that you may not have had addressed yet in game.
Yeah,
but all weapons in the game world are degraded.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know how you keep finding what rusty things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Or it's all everything's rusty.
Oh, wow.
Even the best, like the royal,
yeah,
the whatevers are they're all rusty.
Huh.
And like every basically when that mummy awoke, all weapons became corroded.
Whoa.
And so to make do, you have to fuse things to like these crummy weapons to make them not.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, they've created an in-world explanation to make this mechanic basically not mandatory, but like extremely useful.
Because I was wondering if any of the like other weapons from Breath of the Wild shop, like even just something like I remember having like a really good sledgehammer for smashing rocks.
You can make your own.
Yeah, I know you can make your own now, but like, does that mean that sledgehammers just don't exist anymore?
I haven't seen sledgehammers yet, but I found like a royal claymore, for example.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a fairly high tier weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
I fused a stone talus heart to it.
Oh.
So it's got a giant stone. It basically turned it into a giant stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing.
Okay.
And did crazy damage.
Whoa.
What they actually really this is probably we're basically out of time, but I'll talk about one more thing.
Yeah.
They have made the itemization in this game much deeper. So in Breath of the Wild, item stats basically just go up, right? Like the better tier an item, like a soldier's weapon is worse than a knight's weapon, is worse than a royal weapon.
Yep, yep.
Mm. And then you might find like random modifiers, like one random modifier on that weapon. So like durability up, for example.
Yeah.
In this, the tier seems to indicate both damage and sometimes durability, but more so it determines like it has like a special property. So like a soldier's weapon, for example, I think it has like a faster charge. Like you can charge use your charged attacks more quickly. Whereas a royal weapon has like a better flurry attack.
Oh,
like
okay.
The counterattack mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you've got Zonai weapons,
right?
Which, they get their attack boosted when they're fused to a Zonai item or a Zonai shield. Will use a Zonai item more efficiently. So like if you want to use your flamethrower shield, you get a Zonai shield and it'll last.
That's better. Basically. Oh, wow.
So like the base type now determines sort of a special property of the item rather than just the basic stats. And and you can enhance that through the fusion system. It's really clever. And
it's
like,
so cool.
It's made me think about, okay, what do I actually want to carry around with?
Yeah, yeah.
It's really good. Really, really good.
That is really cool because yeah, like
I've only scratched the surface. I'm so excited. I'm gonna. Sorry, listeners. You're gonna hear about Zelda for the next 4 months.
Yep. probably longer because it might take me 4 years to finish it.
God, I hope not.
Well, they've already had like 4 months of Zelda, so they'll be well prepared.
Yeah, they've had much longer than 4 months of Zelda.
About 7 years. Okay. I'm out of things for now, and we're also out of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You guys got anything else you want to say before we go?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good. We'll talk about X4 on another podcast, I think.
Yeah, maybe next one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly with a guest.
Maybe with a guest, if we can. Yeah.
So look forward to that.
Yep.
Otherwise, thank you for listening. You can email us at frenziedquestions@gmail.com. Just in the subject, put Blake Y, and then tell us what you like about Zelda. And then say, Blake, why is it going to take you 4 years?
I'll tell you why, because it's such a good game. I want to savor it.
Yeah.
I want to just savor
it. I'm savoring it as well, but I'm also playing it as much as I possibly can.
It's like a delicious cake that you...
that I'm... It's like a huge cake, though. It's a cake that you're shoving into your gullet. Well, I mean, there's
at least three layers, right?
Yeah. And some sub layers in there. Yeah. Some sort of like kind of gray area.
Like, oh, I found a good pocket in this cake.
All right, we'll be back in a couple weeks. Bye. Like, I have Zelda themed dreams and stuff.
I do kind of miss getting that into a game.
This is I
used to get it a lot. Like,
I was getting that with X4, and it's not cool.
You compared it to Morrowind, which, by the way, yeah. You spelled Morrowind wrong like three different ways.
Did I?
It's one word.
Classic.
Just the wind that blows off a freshly opened Morrow.
I still think of it a bit like Morrowind.
Only in its fucking lack of direction.
Yeah. Well, okay. Hang on. Morrowind actually gave great directions, but they were given to you as directions. As in, like, look for this landmark, turn left, then follow the path until whatever.
Oh, yeah, no, this is way worse than that.
Yeah. Morrowind relied on you actually reading, which turned a lot of people off.
Mm.
Yeah. No, this is more like... You walk into like a kitchen and someone's like make a sandwich, but then like all there is in the pantry is like flour and yeast.
Yeah, and all the ingredients are in another house somewhere down the street.
Yeah,
so they won't tell you where.
Yeah,
that sounds horrible.
It's got some serious problems. They'll tell you.
They'll tell you that you need to go to the end of the driveway because the ingredients are somewhere past the end of the driveway. But then after that, they're like, you have to find it yourself.
Yeah,
awful.
And actually, it's like 12 driveways.
Yeah.
I remember in Morrowind, there's a part in... Did you guys play Morrowind? You played Morrowind.
Oh, yeah.
So very, very long ago.
Yeah. Did you finish it?
Nah.
Blake, I never finished it.
Okay. Did you get up to the part where you're declared the Nerevarine?
I think I did.
Yeah. So do you remember there's like... To get to that part, you have to go to like the Ashlanders...
Yeah.
Like tribal area.
Yes.
And I remember... There's this specific quest just to find the place, and it was like you have to go north and you have to follow this path, and somewhere along the path there's going to be this extra tall spire, and then you need to go west from that spire, and you'll eventually find like this series of huts or whatever. And I remember specifically that because it was like this is the perfect example of where Morrowind and Oblivion diverged. Yeah. It was like really specific written directions in Morrowind. And then just a pin.
Yeah. 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 I really like that in Morrowind. Like, this is...
I actually really liked it as well. It made the world feel grounded. It made me feel clever for finding places.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
The video gamification of the Elder Scrolls series, I think, has actually made it worse.
My comparison to Morrowind is more of a personal comparison, not like...
Right.
Not like... Oh, you know, this system is just like this system. It's more like the feeling it gives me is the same feeling of discovery that Morrowind gave me.
Yeah.
Where as I started playing, realizing how big the game was.
Dude, you're going to have the exact same experience for Tears of the Kingdom, and I'm so excited for you.
I started playing X4 as well.
Are you liking it? Oh, boy. That's a long, long pause. Oh, boy.
It's like... The thing is, I keep going back to it.
Yeah.
But I have, like, some serious problems with, like...
Yeah.
How they communicate things, or lack thereof.
Yep.
I agree.
And it does not respect your time at all. if ever there's a game I've played that's been like, yo, fuck your time.
Yeah.
We just don't care. We're just gonna, like, throw stuff at you, and then you figure it out. It's that game.
I don't think I've Googled what to do in a game more than X4. And just simple things like, how do you launch these drones? And and the thing I found was like, the AI doesn't do it. So you got to do it yourself. And I'm like, what?
And also, like, all the search results fucking suck.
Yeah.
They're so bad. You end up looking at, like, Steam community forums where, like, someone's asked a question. Yeah. That's exactly what happened to you. And there's one passive-aggressive reply from just some random dude.
But that question would have been asked 3 years ago, and the game hasn't, like, improved it since then.
Wait, it's in early access?
No.
No, it came out in like 2018 or something.
Oh,
it's got
okay.
four expansions or something.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
It just had a recent expansion.
Okay. Okay.
It's a really good game, but my God.
You're really selling it.
It really does its best to put you off right at the start.
Yeah, sounds like it. So far, it's put me off before I've even started.
Well, I'm on my fifth playthrough.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because the first four tries, I couldn't figure out what the fuck to do.
Gotcha. I thought you meant like you've beaten it four times.
No, I mean, I literally started over four other times before I found a post on the internet that said to start at this start if you want to learn how to play the game.
Wow. Like, even something simple, right? Because you're like, oh, what do? Like, you see, like, oh, you just fly around and do some basic missions, right?
Yeah.
Even how do I find missions? You have to Google it.
Oh, yeah, and I had that wrong for, like, quite a while until I talked to you in the rec room.
Oh, my God.
Have a listen. Let's talk about this on the podcast.